Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Scary, scary hitter right here. 9-7 Red Sox the pitch. Baez drives one high and deep. You got to be kidding. It's deep to left field and it is out of here. Another three-run homer for Javi Baez. And after all the heroics from the Red Sox, they lose it 10-9. The Javi Baez show in Detroit, a soul crusher for the Red Sox.
I can't believe they did it again, Keith.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start believing it.
You gotta be kidding.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm with you. And boy, oh boy, did Baez know that thing was gone.
Yo, yeah.
Baez
got a hold of it.
Celebrating in the batter's box the second that left. One of two three-run homers to put the Tigers in front. This is the walk-off for Baez last night. Red Sox led twice in extra innings, including by two runs in the 11th after a Christian Campbell two-run homer to put them up 9-7. They lose 10-9. They've dropped the first two games against the American League's best team, the Detroit Tigers, one of the best teams in baseball, and they are now back to 500.
Oh, they love it there.
22-22. The hamster wheel keeps turning, and they keep winding up at that 500 spot, and something feels very wrong with the team, whether that's Devers, whether it's something simmering under the surface like that, or the problems run much deeper, we can debate. Yeah. But there is something off with this 500 Red Sox team that we expected way more out of.
Well, and that's just it. They can't get away from it. I mean, they were 1-1 to start the year, and that just seems to be pretty apropos. And they at best get 2, 3, 4 games above 500, and then they sink right back down to it. You know, they were not too long ago 18-18, and they were in the middle of a little bit of a funk, and we thought they dug themselves out of it, right? They won 4 out of 5. You had Devers couldn't get out last night, cooled off, but like for a while couldn't get out. AL Player of the Week,
and you win series against the Rangers and the Royals. It's like, okay, those are good teams. Red Sox are turning it
and
around.
Even around the latest Devers drama, they were still winning games.
Yep,
and you're like, I'm sure the teammates are looking at him sideways, but he's still hitting the ball. You got good pitching performances out of Giolito and Garrett Crochet, and you're like, all right, the American League is down. They'll dig themselves out of this a little bit, and then back. I know Detroit's good. In fact, I saw something the other day. They re-released all like the win totals, like the updated win totals across Major League Baseball.
What is it?
I don't know what the number is, but the Tigers jumped the most.
Oh, okay.
The Tigers number improved by 9 from where it started the year. The Rockies, they took 17 off of it, I think. It was like the biggest drop-off from where they were at the beginning of the year.
What? They lose a game 21-0. They fired their manager.
They like just barely missed out the worst start through 30 games or whatever in baseball history. Like they're atrocious.
Yeah, nice. So they said Bud Black's not going to get fired. They lost the game 21-0. They fired Bud Black.
Yeah, see you later, Bud Black.
Hours.
Yeah, all right. But the Tigers are good, but I mean you lose 14-2 and then you lose this game where you have the lead in extra innings is pretty demoralizing. So I don't really know if there's one thing wrong with the Red Sox. I think, you know, we've talked about Cora. And is he trying to win all these games? Is he really trying to win all these games? Or is it too much of a, well, let's do something here that'll help us 3 months from now? Whether it's a batter getting another at-bat against a certain relief pitcher, or if it's a starter staying in a little bit longer, or not walking Vlad Guerrero, or whatever. I think Cora's on the list. The last two nights, I mean, it was pitching. I mean, that was pretty clear. They just didn't have it.
Hulk, you can't do anything about
it. Hulk's been a mess.
Bayo wasn't great last night.
No, he wasn't.
But, I don't know, do you have to stick with Greg Weissert for a second inning? You don't have to. Cora was asked about it after the game. The only guy left in the bullpen after Weissert, unless you want to go to a starter, was Hendricks.
Yeah.
And he said he was staying away from him. But, like, what are you doing? You don't have to worry about going to anybody else when you're up two. Just close the game out. You don't have to go back to Greg Weissert. You're up two runs. Close the game out. Don't worry about the 12th inning. Worry about ending the game. So I'm with you. Cora's on the list. The Devers thing is front and center, and I just think it's representative of something's off and has been off with this team all along, and that's simmering beneath the surface. And I don't know, maybe some of it too. Jeff Passan had a big, long takeout today on Alex Bregman. I don't know if you read any of it. I wouldn't say there's a lot in there, but it's like Bregman's their new Pedroia, and, you know, he's changing the culture in the clubhouse. And I was reading the story. I'm like, wait, he hasn't changed anything. What do you mean he's changing things in there?
They're the same as they were last
year. They're exactly the same as they've been. Bregman's a really good player.
Except now they're not living up to expectations.
Right. They're underachieving.
Last year they had no expectations.
Thank you. That's a great way to put it. Last year they overachieved. Now they're underachieving. So, like, don't tell me Bregman's changing the culture. That doesn't add up exactly.
You can say he's having a great season.
Yeah, it might not be.
He's been really good.
It might not be his fault. But if we're giving him credit for the culture, then we got to give him some blame because something in there is off. And I think, if you're asking me, it's Devers with Cora right behind him. I do not give Cora a free pass on this. I think Cora's been embarrassing on this. By the way, is he on today?
Alex Cora should be Wednesday.
He should
be, right?
Yeah. Alex Cora Wednesday. Sometimes on the road, I know that shakes things up.
I think so.
But I'd have him front and center.
Yeah.
Why is your owner flying to Kansas City to meet with a player? Why is the GM coming downstairs to talk to a player? That's your job. So Devers, to me, is just, again, a horrible, horrible teammate. I haven't traded him like you have, Keith.
Yeah,
but
he gone.
He should get his ass to first base. I think that's a big problem, and I think teammates have a problem with it. But Cora's right there behind him, and the decision last night to go back to Weissert for a second inning was stupid.
Yeah, that was. So I think some of the decisions by Cora I have on the list. I think Tristan Casas, just twofold. One, horrible start to the season. So your cleanup hitter was really bad, and then you didn't have a backup. So then when he gets hurt, it's another drama with Devers, but in the meantime, it's Roman Gonzalez, Abraham Toro, Nick Sogard. I know he had a couple of knocks last night, but it's like,
well, Sogard had a misplay at first last night too. He did hit well, but he had a misplay at first, which
but
there's
that's a
long line of those,
thing, right? Yep. Like you have zero backup for Casas, so just really first base, Cora, first base, Tanner Houck are some of the reasons why you're here, right? Like you're still in it, like you're not buried. But we expected a lot better. If this team was going to win 90 games, they weren't going to be 500 through 44 games.
Tell me this. Red Sox are 4-11 in one-run games. Is that just unlucky, or does that tell a story?
I think it does tell a little bit of a story, because I think that's a spot where maybe you give credit to a manager, and then you also kind of look at the manager. You know, sort of separately, like with Missoula, like if your team has all these massive leads and then your team loses all these leads, I start to look at, all right, what are you doing about it? And that's one thing. Like, some of the years the Red Sox have been good, they would have crazy numbers in close games. Now, part of that, too, is maybe you have a better bullpen than others. I don't think their bullpen is bad. Like, I think they had a stretch where they were bad. But early in the year, they were, like, one of the strengths of the team.
Yeah. I'm starting to question how good Whitlock is.
Fair.
And, you know,
and like Slayton fell apart.
Slayton,
and like,
right? Yeah. Slayton was fine last night, but Slayton was really good last night. But
no, but
Slayton,
he had that stretch where he literally lost three games for him.
So
in like a week.
I'm with you. I think 4-11 in one run games, that number can be a little fluky, but that's a Cora stat.
Yeah, there's some luck involved there, but wouldn't you want to see that a little bit, at least close? That's closer to 500, and then, you know, you win the other ones?
Yeah. If it's a fluky number, then by definition, I'm sure the analysts and the, you know, the front office people are looking at it and going, well, every team should be 500 in that spot, right?
Yeah.
And anything else is just kind of noise within the statistics. Well, the manager's holding you back, I think, in that spot. Last night is an example. So you can jump in on it, 617-779-7937. We'll get to some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30 on a Would You Rather Wednesday, Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon. How do they fix it, Keith?
I mean, I would like to see... It's a lot of pressure on them, but I would like to see Anthony and Meyer with the big club, please.
It's so obvious.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious why they're not up. We have one guy who consistently texts us every day.
He's like, wow, we're drinking the Kool-Aid guy?
We're the drinking the Kool-Aid guy. Yeah. We suck up to management. I think we've consistently said ownership is manipulating service time. Management is manipulating service time on these guys. They're keeping them down artificially in the minor leagues. They called up Campbell game one. Because Campbell played ball on a contract. They're not playing ball with Anthony and Meyer, and they're keeping them in AAA in Worcester because they didn't work with the team on a contract. So I think we've consistently criticized ownership for that. I don't think this year I have the same gripe with John Henry that I've had in the past. John Henry flew to Kansas City. I actually applaud him for that.
Mm-hmm.
He spent money on Bregman. They traded for Crochet and extended him. Like I think there's less criticism for Henry this year personally for me, but that's one that I put on ownership and management. Why aren't these guys here?
Yeah, they should be.
They're manipulating service time, and if you start to see it, Nick pointed this out the other day, Jordan Lawler is now up. with the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's a top prospect. The Cubs just called up Ballesteros. That's a top prospect.
The time is now. We're all around it.
The Red Sox aren't the only team doing it,
yeah.
But a lot of teams are starting to do it. This is the time where you see those kids called up. How do you fix it? You get the talented guys who you're wasting in AAA up here to spark the team and actually improve the talent level. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that both those guys should be up. And if one, whether they're playing first, DH, outfield, second base, figure that out.
Right.
Like, that's your issue. Figure that out.
I don't want Meyer at first. I think that's a waste. But if it gets him up here, put him at first.
Yeah, right.
If Devers won't do it.
He would do it.
If Devers won't do it, get him up here and put him at first. Yeah. It's annoying at this point.
Because this team last year was, what'd they finish? Were they 500? A couple games over 500?
They were 81 and 81,
dead 500. Mm-hmm. So you would think, and considering that there are three big signings this offseason, well, I guess one was a trade, but there are three big acquisitions. Garrett Crochet has been great, right? A couple starts where you're like, oh, what was that? But like overall, great. Alex Bregman, great. Aroldis Chapman, much to our surprise, great.
Yeah, that one surprises me.
So you add those three guys, you would think, all right, that takes a 500 team, and that's an easy boost up, right? You have a right-handed bat who hits third, an ace, and a closer. Like, that's a pretty good offseason. But the problem is some of these other guys, right? Costas was kind of a swing guy, swung the other way. It was terrible. Jaron Duran and Tanner Houck were both all-stars last year.
Duran's been bad.
Carried the team to where they were. I mean, Houck was a Cy Young candidate at the break, and Jaron Duran was an MVP candidate for the whole year. And neither one of those guys are going to be all-stars. Houck's going to get sent down, it feels like. And Duran's been just south of fine, right? Like, he needs to be better.
Yeah, you're right. Bad is too strong.
No, he's not bad.
He's underachieved. And
no, he was up there with like Soto, Judge, Ohtani for like WAR last year. Now it's like he's got one of the worst WAR, if you like WAR, one of the worst on the team.
Well, if you're talking up Jaron Duran, you have to be a fan of the WAR statistic. He is.
He's last.
By that metric?
Of their regular guys.
Yeah, he's below David Hamilton. He's below.
David Hamilton was swinging it last
Christian
night.
Christian Campbell, Romy Gonzalez, Rob Refsnyder, Trevor Story.
Nicholas John Sogard.
He is.
Not great, Bob.
On the ESPN stat thing.
No, he's above Sogard.
I see them both at zero.
Oh, I see Sogard at minus 0.1.
Okay, maybe the ESPN hasn't updated. You know what?
Duran is 0.0.
Isn't there different wars? I think different sites have different wars.
There's F4 and B4.
I'm on ESPN. Whatever
difference I couldn't.
Whatever war ESPN uses, that's the one
I also don't know why Nick Sogard on ESPN is Nicholas John Sogard. He's the only one that sounds like a serial killer.
But anyway, yeah, no. Duran is on. We should add Duran to the list because
Duran. A big problem with this team right now.
I don't want to give him a free pass. He's a guy who set the tone, and I think was one of the most exciting players to watch in baseball, and it was refreshing to have a guy like that on the Red Sox. Hasn't been that this year. But what's the problem with the Red Sox? How do you fix it? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Bob is in Londonderry. He's got a thought on the Celtics. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I was just curious what, depending on how, if and when the season ends, let's say today or tomorrow, the next game it ends, you think they're to a degree going to use, and I'm just saying it in a figurative term, the injury to Jalen to say, well, this is the way the season went, because they really, the whole playoffs really were shaky, even when things looked good. Didn't really go well at all. And I think everyone had him as already winning this. It was a foregone conclusion. And from the beginning, I kept saying, I'm not too sure about this. I'm just curious, and given the fact last year, I kept saying they did win it. They're not the first, they're not the last, but they didn't really have any talent to go against them. That's why they won it. I'm just curious what you think the fallout might be when this all is said and done.
Okay, well, the Celtics are making changes
regardless.
Potentially either way. I found it really hard to believe, and we played a clip from Shams earlier. We'll play it again later in the show, but Shams said and reported at the time, whether they won or not, they're making changes. I personally found it really hard to believe. If they were sitting there with back-to-back titles, they would peel off big pieces, but maybe they would have.
Yeah.
I think now, Holiday, Porzingis, I highly doubt, I don't think both are back. They both could be gone off this team next year. So that's some of the fallout. I personally don't think they're trading Jalen. Does a team like OKC, and let's see what they do. They're up 3-2 on Denver. We didn't talk about them when we were looking at some of the other series throughout the postseason. Does a team like OKC, if they don't win, Keith, and they have 11 first-round picks or whatever it is, like something ridiculous like that, does OKC make a big move and say, we smell blood in the water, we're a player away? Does a team see this as an opportunity because Tatum's out for a year and the Celtics are having to tear things down?
Yeah, they should. I would think all the teams should, right? Like, there was a stretch there where there were a couple of super teams. I mean, the Celtics, if you want to say, kind of started that in 08, and then there was, like, each year there was one, maybe two, where you could kind of predict the NBA Finals, right? Like, hey, I bet it's going to be Cavs-Warriors.
Yeah.
And then it was Cavs-Warriors. And then that kind of went away. And then this Celtics team we thought might be the next wave of it. And if that's broken up, and it already is, even if they do bring everybody back, there's no Tatum. So every other team should say, this is our chance. And Oklahoma City is an interesting case because if they lose in the conference finals, let's say, I could see them being like, wait a minute. You know, if they get to the NBA Finals, they're close, they're young, so you might not want to go too crazy with the changes. Like, that group seems like it's pretty damn good and could be set up for the long haul. So, like, I think, honestly, it'd be kind of dumb for them to trade for, like, Giannis, I think. Like, if you're, like, Chet Holmgren.
Too overreactionary. And,
like, yeah, I think so. Because I think you could be set up for a little bit. But the Celtics are also a pretty good case study in you got to maximize each individual year. Right, so maybe you could talk yourself into that. Be like, that looked like a team that was going to be set for 3 years, and they're not. Like, good thing they won it year one with Holiday or Porzingis, because they never truly got a full year two.
OKC has two firsts this year, three firsts next year, two firsts in 2027.
Seven!
They have a first rounder in 2028. OKC has two first rounders in 2029.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of their own. So, like, they have multiple picks in most of these upcoming drafts. They have the means to make a move like Giannis. Giannis was probably...
They do, but where are they picking this year? They're picking, like, 15 yeah. and...
15. In fact, I think they got kind of boned on the lottery, right? Weren't they supposed to get Philly's pick, but Philly moved up? I think they kind of got boned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, they have two first-round picks, but it's not, you know, it's not Cooper Flagg.
No, but they have a lot of picks to make a move. I don't think I'm not I wouldn't sit there and draft if I were them.
But, like,
I would pool those picks together, four or five of them, to go get a player.
It's the future picks, though, that really get it done. Like, I think, because the future picks could be anything, right? Yeah. You could have a 1.8% chance to get the number one pick, and that's, you know, that was the lure of the Pierce Garnett trade. Was it was years down the, you had to be patient, but, like, they could really pay off rather than, like, hey, we'll give you the 10 pick this year. It's like, no, I'll take my chances next year on what that could be.
Let's go to George in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was wondering about, I don't like the manager core. I don't agree with him, and I think if he left Chapman any longer, we'd have a better chance of winning. I don't know what he's worried about keeping him in, give him another inning or two.
Okay, George, get a...
The guy is drunk!
I don't think so. I think he's just been up. I think he's just been up since the game.
Well, I was going to say get a nap in before the Celtics tonight going to say. But
I think he's watching the Red Sox.
He might be locked in on the Red Sox.
Yeah, I think so.
He doesn't like how
Chapman.
He doesn't like how Cora used his bullpen. How many do you have Chapman up in front of you? How many times has Chapman gone multiple innings this year?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think it's the last five seasons, like, four times.
I was going to say, I don't think it's much if he's even done it.
He doesn't do it ever.
So, thank you.
I mean, he hasn't gotten, I don't know how many times, because this just says the actual innings pitched. He hasn't gotten more than three outs in any game this year.
Okay, so there you go. He hasn't even done it. That was not my issue. My issue last night was, why do you have to go to Greg Weissert for a second inning?
Yeah.
And Cora's explanation after the game was...
Liam Hendricks.
Hendricks was our only guy. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. Well,
we don't
want
to have a tie like the All-Star game.
You only needed three outs, so just put in the guy who used to be a closer to close out the game. And if Hendricks blows the lead, then you got to cross that bridge when you get there. Like, I don't know why you're so worried about the 12th and 13th inning. Worry about closing it out in the 11th. Tom is in Maine. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I've got thanks for taking my call. I got a few ideas about the Red Sox lineup. First of all, if I were the coach and general manager, I'd get rid of Devers right now. I'd find somebody that had a good pitcher that they wanted to trade and pick up another pitcher, get rid of Devers.
We're gonna have to let you go on that one. He wants
comfortable, though.
He wants Hamilton at second base. That's
I don't want that.
Okay.
I don't want that. No, thanks. He's a butcher in the field. He finally got a couple of hits yesterday, but he can't hit really either.
You see when he hit the home run, the face he made after he hit the home run? It's like, dude. You're hitting 190 or whatever you're hitting.
He's up at 204 now.
Oh, is he?
Pimp it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
He's got to feel good. But he should not start for any team. I don't want him starting on this team.
Woo Sox?
Oh, you can start for the Woo Sox.
You want to start for the Woo Sox? Go.
Beautiful Polar Park.
Swap it up. So he's playing Hamilton at second. I guess we don't know his full plans. We had to let him go.
Campbell at first. Which I'm in favor of.
Campbell at first, Hamilton at second, but he also said call up Meyer and Anthony. So
I don't know
where are they playing.
I don't know. Outfield DH.
They kind of have 10 guys in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rover.
odd.
They're playing him at Rover.
But he did say trade Devers and Campbell at first, which is my plan.
Oh, that's true. He said trade Devers, so DH is open.
I would also send David Hamilton to, you know, Worcester, but other than that.
Maybe you could throw him in your Devers deal.
Sure. Take him.
Yeah.
Speed guy.
Yeah.
Want a speed guy, can't hit.
Might want him.
Can't field either.
Speed guy, can't hit, plays a lot of positions, can't field.
Can't field.
You want him?
Awful in the field. Lost him a game earlier this year. You want him?
Nice guy.
Oh, sweet guy. Sweetheart of a man.
But you don't want to watch him play baseball.
Not a bad player.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
617.
And just quickly on Chapman,
yes?
In the last five seasons, he's gone multiple innings six times.
Okay. Yeah, he's
it's
not
like Kelly Jansen, right? Yeah. They didn't do that with him either.
That was not my criticism. That was a caller's criticism. I would have gone away from Weissert for the second inning personally. Since I would be hesitant to put him into a game for one inning, never mind two.
Yeah, it's scary.
617-779-7937. We'll get to Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon, and we have some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.